thy faithfulness. Lord, oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail. Thou forever will be.
Come on, sing that chorus.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All
take a moment and think about the faithfulness of God. Come on, say it again, and great is thy faith. Oh, great is thy faith. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands provide. Come on, say it again. Great is thy faithfulness. One more time. Hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. For you are faithful. Oh, so faithful. You are faithful. Oh, so faithful. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. Say, you are faithful. Oh, so faithful. You are faithful. Oh, so faithful. What a thank God for his faithfulness. Come on.
You are faithful. Oh, so faithful. You are faithful. Oh, so faithful. What a privilege and an honor to worship at
a privilege and an honor. Come on, say.
What a privilege. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. What a privilege and an honor it is to worship you, God. Sing it again. God is so good. Thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. We honor you tonight. Thank you for our children that are here. Thank you for our youth, our adults. Thank you for all the families. Hallelujah. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. God, we thank you for peace tonight. Thank you for peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for peace even in the midst of our storms. Thank you that you know everything about us. Thank you that you said you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for joy unspeakable and full of your glory. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. You're with us. Hallelujah. So we thank you for strength tonight. Thank you for hope. Thank you, Lord, that you are a provider. You're the good shepherd. And we shall not want. Hallelujah. We bless your name tonight. Bless every person here tonight. May they know, Lord, that you are in the midst of their lives, working everything out for their good. For that, we're truly thankful. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, somebody give a big shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll take a couple of minutes and greet a couple of people if you'd like to do that. And we're going to invite our youth and our children to go to the fellowship hall. And Naya, if you come here for just a second. Naya. One, two. So the youth and the children are going back to the fellowship hall. They got some goodies back there, and the Millers are going to be with them tonight. Y'all ready? How's everybody doing tonight? Before we get started, we sent an email out today, I believe it was, about our 12-hour prayer chain. We included a little sign-up thing in the email. I just included that just so that if you haven't signed up, that you would just pick a time. You don't have to. We trust that these. We want to get them filled up. But I will put this. I'll just leave it here. And that's this coming Friday, right? Yeah, this coming Friday, 7 p.m.
And so there's a few empty spots, and we, you know, it's a prayer chain, so we don't want the chain to be broken. So please see if there's any open spots. And then on Saturday, we have our team members fellowship, and that's over at the First Bank, and have breakfast. Who knows what Linda Oglesby going to cook up? We don't know, but that'll be good. And then Sunday, April 2nd, is the start of Passion Week, and that is when we are going to bring our sacrificial offering. Some have already given it, but we're not going to do a special march or anything. We just want you to just to share in our time of giving, and as we generally do at the end of the service. So we're not going to have a line and tell what everybody gave. No, people, churches do that, so, but we don't do that here. Okay, are you ready? Here is the one verse for tonight. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. And while you're finding it, I'm going to read three different versions. I'm going to read the New American Standard Bible. I'm going to read the, I think it's the Common English Bible. And then I'm going to read the New Living Translation. What in the world? All right, so here it is, Deuteronomy 31 and 8, New American Standard Bible says, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you." Somebody say hallelujah. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. How many can use a little encouragement tonight? And then the Common English Bible, I believe that's what it's, CEB. "But the Lord is the one who is marching before you. He is the one who will be with you. He won't let you down. He won't abandon you. So don't be afraid or scared." Hallelujah. And then the New Living Translation. "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you." That's awesome. "He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." So just a little background on the book of Deuteronomy. This is the fifth book in the Bible, and is the fifth book in the what's called the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, Matthew, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which are all attributed to Moses. Technically, it's anonymous, but the Pentateuch, the first five books, are widely attributed to Moses, also known as the Law. The Law. Okay? Now, it was written, Deuteronomy was written at the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And the book of Deuteronomy is broken up into three basic sections that I think are pretty cool and applicable to us today. Here are the three sections. Chapters 1 through 4 cover what God has done for Israel. Chapters 4 through 26 cover what God expects of Israel. And then chapters 27 through 34 is what God will do for Israel. Isn't that interesting that it's good to understand and to remember what God has done for you? It's definitely good to know what God expects of you. And how do we know what God expects of us? How do we find? Through His Word. Through His Word. And then, even also through His Word, what God will do for you. Okay? What God has done is your personal testimony, but that is based in the Word of God. God saved you, sanctified you, filled you with His Holy Spirit, healed you. You know, so your What God has done for you is your testimony. What God expects of you is His commandments, and it's more than just the ten. What he expects, what He requires, what He commands, and then it's good to know what God will do as a result of us following His expectations. So that's the basic structure of Deuteronomy. So through Moses' sermons near the end of his life, God reminded Israel on the verge of entering the Promised Land. They were because now Moses didn't go into the Promised Land, right? God took him, and he died in a mountain there. But God used Moses to remind Israel about God's mighty acts, His covenant, and His many commands. In short, Moses reminds the Israelites of their history and God's laws. Just a couple of other facts, fun facts, if you will, interesting facts, I'll say. The Ten Commandments in Exodus, the 20th chapter, we don't have to turn there, but the Ten Commandments in Exodus, the 20th chapter, are restated in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. All right? And then do you all remember, sure you do, remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew 4, the 4th chapter? You all remember that? All three of Jesus' rebuttals were quotes from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8 and 3, Deuteronomy 6:16, Deuteronomy 6:13. Isn't that interesting? All right. So, before we get into just that one verse, here's the context of Deuteronomy 31 and 8. We've already mentioned this, but Moses is close to the end of his life. He's pretty much wrapping it up. He's at the end of his life, and they're in chapter 31. Now, in chapter 30, chapter 30 deals with restoration is promised to the children of Israel. You know, because they had sinned, and God, you know, was punishing them and all of that, and they would cry out, and God would restore all that. And so, chapter 30 talked about the restoration that God was promising restoration to the children of Israel. And then chapter 31. Moses is Moses' last counsel to Israel, and also Joshua is commissioned because Joshua succeeded Moses. All right? Joshua became the new pastor of the church. Then in chapter 32, Moses did this long song. It's called the Song of Moses. And then in chapter 33, Moses gives his blessing, and then in chapter 34, he dies. So in chapter 31, he's basically wrapping it up. He's kind of giving his, you know. What I wanted to point out in chapter 34, I thought this was interesting, and I'm sure I read this before, but I think I even had it underlined. But I want to read, this is just another interesting thing about Moses. Chapter 34, I'm going to read verse 4 through 6. It says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land which I swore to Abraham.'" God showed him the land, Isaac and Jacob, saying, "I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, capital H, buried him. You see that? God himself buried Moses in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows his burial place to this day. Now, look at verse 10. "Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses." So Moses was a prophet whom the Lord knew face to face. I could take you to Exodus 33 and 11, where it talks about how Moses would go out to the tent of meeting and meet with God, and God would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. So God and Moses were tight. Verse 11, for all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants and all his land, and for all the mighty power and for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. So Moses definitely made an impact. And so here's Moses, a prophet. In that day and time, here's how God communicated with the children of Israel. God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people. That's, right? That's sort of, now, just in our day and time, that's where we just get the whole idea of a man we can argue, but a pastor standing in front of the people and speaking what God has given him to speak. Okay? So that's sort of, and then when Moses died, then Joshua stepped into that place. Okay. Now, I say this quite often that now, under the new covenant, all of us, all of you, have the opportunity through the Holy Spirit to hear from God. So you don't have to wait for the pastor or a pastor to hear from God and speak to you. All right? So it's important that all of us individually understand that God has given us the opportunity and the invitation to have access to come boldly to the throne of grace. All right. So now let's get to, that's just a lot of kind of back stuff. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. This verse is actually, let me turn to Hebrews 13. It's mentioned in Hebrews 13 and 5. I will read it for you. Then I'm going to ask you a question. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. All right? That's Hebrews 13 and 5. All right. So now, when we read, here's the question. When you read this verse, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. What jumps out at you? What blesses you the most, if I could say it that way? Yes, Kevin. He won't fail you. Okay? He won't fail you. He's the provider. He'll show you the way. He's the one who's going to be with you. That's right. Don't be afraid. Who else? Anybody else? So let's look at these briefly. At these, I see three basic promises. The first promise is that the Lord goes ahead of you. Now, you can, I read that, I see that two different ways, okay? So back in the day, I'll just use this as an example. when a let's just say an evangelist was doing was in one city and he was going from Tulsa to Dallas in his next big tent meeting. Okay, he would send a group of people ahead, right, to make sure everything was ready. Okay, so when I read this, I read it in that context, that God is already where you think you're going, and he's working out all the details before you ever get there, so that by the time you arrive, it's already taken care of. The other way that I read that, come here, Gary, for a second. Now don't get the big head, because I'm gonna let you be God just for a second. is that he is just kind of walk that way. He is going before me, right? He's clearing the way as I'm walking. That's another way to look. But thank you, Gary. I like it both ways. That he's in front of you, leading the way, sort of like they don't do it as much now in football, but they had what's called the running back, and then they had the fullback. The fullback was the one who would block, open up the holes, you know, the way for the running back. God is sort of like the spiritual fullback, but he's also going ahead into your future, right? Preparing, just like, Jesus said to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. So he's doing both, I believe. That makes me joyful. That makes me happy. That he's working everything out. You know? So how many of you ever had an invitation from somebody or whatever and they were, you know, they had the authority or whatever, and they just said, look, when you get there, just tell them I said, or, you know, just give them my name, you know. That's the favor. That's the open door. That's the blessing that God gives us. But we got to stick close to him, right? So the Lord goes ahead of you. So he's walking in front of you. He's working out everything. Working everything out before you arrive. And listen, sometimes you have to just go by faith. You have to step out on faith. Because God's working it out for you. All right? Any comment on that? Sure. Yeah. That's so good that you said that. Seek another scripture that comes to mind says, "Early will I seek thee." Right. So yes. It does mean early in the day. Right. Early in the day. But also, thank you, Tamala. But also early in your situation. Don't wait till all hell breaks loose and gets all crazy. Whatever it is that happens, right, that's when you seek him. You know, the children of Israel, how many of you know that they moved around a lot? Right? How many of you know how they knew when to move? That the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, when that moved, they knew. Now look, like to Chelsea's point, If you got your head down, you can't see when the cloud is moving. You got to look up and see. Oh, it's moving. It's moving, y'all. Let's go. That's how I'm going to announce it. The Lord had made the way. I'm going to say, hey, y'all, the cloud has moved to Bethel. Let's go. Hallelujah. So it's very important. That very good point. It's very important that you that even in the midst of your difficulties, that you keep your head up, because the situation that comes to you may be the way that God is using for you to move somewhere else or to do something else, right? And so it's important that you keep your head up, because God is moving. God is always moving. God is always willing to speak and willing to share, and we have to be open. All right, so here's promise number two. He will be with you. He will be with you. He will be with you. He's always close by. Now, here's the thing. I heard this analogy years ago, and it goes like this. When you're in school, your teacher is teaching you, trying to teach you, you know, you got to get this, you got to get this, right? Right? But then there comes a time when it's time to take a test. Now watch. The teacher comes, and he or she hands out the test. And then the teacher goes and sits down and don't say nothing. Here's the point. There are some times when God is teaching you, but then there are other times when it's time for you to pass the test. And when it's time to take the test, generally, the teacher is silent. So don't be intimidated or upset because you don't hear God saying anything. Here's the hope that you have. Here is the promise that you have. Just because he's not saying a whole lot doesn't mean he's not there. He's right there. He's the good shepherd. He said he'd never leave you. Right? So you have to trust God, even when you someone years ago said this, I never forgot it. You have to trust his heart, even when you can't see his hand, right? When the manifestation is not there, you have to trust that he's still there. He's right there. Anybody have anything on that? He'll be with you. That's good. Yes. Yeah. Anybody else? It's all knowing. Yes, he is. How many of you have I remember, what's this? I think the movie was called The Apostle. I think it had, now I'm going to forget the guy's name. Famous actor. He was a old country preacher. He played an old country preacher. Yes, Robert De Niro. And it's at one point in the movie, you know, just all hell had broken loose. And I don't even remember the plot or the story, but I do remember that he was just so upset with God. And he just, you know, just said, God, I love you, but I am mad at you. And, you know, I just feel like that God is not intimidated by our little tantrums. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, it's sort of like a parent, you know. You know, child is having a fit, as long as they just not, I mean, in public or whatever, just, okay, I'm going to let you just go ahead and get that out. Okay, long. Are you done? You know, I know I've told this story before. Y'all probably haven't heard it, so here you go. Here you go. This is for you. It's for you. This is back when we were in Texas, living in Texas, and I tell you what, I was traveling full time and going to churches and ministering, and you know, it's just kind of ebbs and flows, and it was one of them downs, and you know, money was tight, and bills were high and past due, and I remember even looking at my checking account online and printing out what the balance was, and I knew that Sonola and the kids were leaving the house, and I was ready. I was going to go into the prayer closet, and I was going to have a moment with God, and I was hurting. I was upset, and so they left the house, and I went upstairs into the closet, closed the door, and just had that paper in there, and I was looking at that paper, and I just started crying and just saying, God, what are you doing? What, you know, I just oh, my Lord. Oh, I guess I'm the only one that's ever done that, but I was, oh, no? Okay, good. Good. Y'all make me feel good and say, I've been there, Pastor. And so I was crying, and I was like, God, I don't understand, you know. And so, as you know, it wasn't like God said anything in that moment. But a couple of weeks later or something, we got just an unexpected, tremendous blessing. And it was actually, I believe it may have been during the Christmas holidays or whatever, but just... And I remember this moment when it happened, and I was just thanking God. I was like, "Woo! Thank you, oh God, you're so good. Woo, God, you're so good." And this is what I heard: "Yeah, but we need to talk about that closet thing." Yeah, it did. You know. So I once was young, but now I'm older, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Listen, I'm sure we all could say that we would like a little more of this or a little more of that or whatever, but God is faithful. God is faithful, and he said he would always be with us. So even in the most difficult times, you know what I should have done? I should have said, you know, God, I know you're here. I know you're here. I know you haven't forgotten about me. And I just should have started. I hadn't even written this song yet. I just, faithful one, you're faithful to carry me through. Because he's always there. Even when we don't notice it or think it or even feel it. It's really not based on feelings. It's based on faith. All right? Anybody else on He Will Be With You? Anybody else? Anybody else want to share their testimony when they fussed at God? I don't do that anymore. I try not to. But you know what I do now? I've done this recently. I'll go to the Word of God, and whatever it is that might address what I'm dealing with, I'll just read that Word and remind myself, you know, that this is what God said. And then promise number three, He will not fail or abandon you. You know, y'all know God is undefeated, right? He's undefeated. So he will not fail or abandon you. So God journeyed with the children of Israel the entire way from Egypt to Promised Land. He was always there. Now, he had to correct, and he got angry. He got so angry, I've said this before in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, when they made the golden calf, he got so angry that he told Moses, those are your people. You know? And there were times when he had to literally, you know, kind of say, you know what, y'all need to give me a moment. Because I'm upset. I need to, you know, burn. He would burn in his anger. He'd be angry. All that he had done, manna from water from a rock, manna from heaven, and you still don't believe, you still think, you still want to go back to Egypt after all that? How many times do I got to bless you? You know? But through all of that, he stuck with them. He stayed with them. And he made good on his promise. The promised land. Promised land. All right? So despite their continued disobedience, God never left them and always provided for them. You know what? That gives me hope. Because sometimes I'm disobedient. And despite my disobedience, I know that he'll never leave me. His grace is sufficient. He's long-suffering. He suffers long over us. And he always provides for us. Always. That's a pretty great deal, huh? Pretty good deal. Y'all better get in on that. That's true. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-mm. The epilogue of this verse is that we don't have to fear or worry about anything because of these three promises. Because God is goes ahead of us, because he said he'd be with us. He said he wouldn't fail or abandon us. And so because of that, we don't have to be anxious or worried about anything. I've used this example a few times. You know, you can always tell. Look, I haven't written a bus in a long time, but, you know, you can tell someone who has written the bus before, because they sit there, they wait for the bus. They know it's eventually going to come. Reading the paper, just, you know, it's going to come. May not come when you want it, right on time. As opposed to someone who is sort of a newbie, and they, well, what time is it coming? You know, same thing in the faith. You have to sort of be settled and know that, you know what? It's 11:59. Nothing has happened yet, but God's gonna come through. It's gonna happen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. There has never been a time when God wasn't good. You're going to go to bed tonight with God being good. And you're going to wake up. And he's still going to be good. He's still going to make a way. So. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I'll close with this because I think it may have been a year ago or so. I can't remember, but I preached a message, and I think it was titled something like, I think it was called Failure is Not an Option. When you pray for something or something doesn't go the way that you expect, it's not because God failed you. God doesn't fail. So you need to resolve that. God does not fail. God does not fail. There's certain things that we won't understand until we get on the other side. We just won't. Okay? Right. You ever watch a movie and they say, someone is saying, I need to know this. Well, they'll say, that's above your pay grade. Lean not to your own understanding. You've got to trust him. Even when it doesn't go the way you think it should go, he's still there. He's still there. He's still with you. You've got to trust. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. We, again, find encouragement in your word, and thank you for this word tonight, that you go before us, you go ahead of us, and goodness and mercy follows us. We're in good company at all times. So God, we thank you for your word tonight, and I pray for Ron Jackson tonight, that he would know that you go, that you are going before him. Touch his body right now in the name of Jesus. Pray for Will Williams. Touch him, God, in the name of Jesus. Anyone else who is dealing with sickness, heal him, God. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the presence in Owosso. Thank you for everyone that is here tonight. And I pray, God, that they would have a knowing in their heart and in their soul that you truly are with them, that you love them, that you care for them, you care about them, care about their happiness and their wholeness and their holiness. So bless them tonight. Bless those that maybe watching this online. Thank you for the encouragement of your spirit. Bless us tonight as we leave this place, but not your presence. Thank you, Lord, for our 12-hour prayer chain that will take place this coming Friday, 7 p.m. to 7 in the morning. And we look forward to Sunday, beginning of Passion Week, where we begin to really commemorate and think about your tremendous sacrifice. And as we give thanks to you on that Sunday with a sacrificial offering, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your blessings. We honor you tonight, and we trust you. We trust you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. We trust you tonight. In Jesus' name. Now I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you so much. Be strong in the Lord.